Hi, I'm John. I'm one of the pastors at Victory, and I'm also the director of our provincial churches. At Victory, we are committed to plant churches all over the Philippines, believing that together we can disciple this nation. Hope this message inspires you to honor God and make disciples.
We are on the third week of our series that we've entitled Trustworthy. And we are looking at the book of Isaiah and trying to find through the book of Isaiah the covenant that God has given us, and this covenant-keeping God. And that the reason why it's trustworthy is because the more you understand the covenant of God and this God who keeps that covenant, the more you are convinced that He is indeed trustworthy. Now, before we start, just a question for all of us. If you're worshiping with us, type in that comment section, what is one character of trait of God that you really, really like? It's something that resonates in you. It's something that speaks to you. Alam ko, pwede nating sabihin lahat. Pero kung pumili ka ng isa, ano yon? God is kind, God is gracious, God is merciful, God is holy, God is love. Pili ka lang, type that there. And then, pwede kayo mag-interact. Bakit yan? As I was thinking about this, parang iba-ibang season ng buhay ko, merong isang character trait si God na parang talagang magnified na magnified sa buhay ko. And I think that's all of us. We've talked about the awesome God at the start of the year. And so we've talked about the character traits of God. But the question is this. What if there is one character trait of God that you don't really like that much? Is that possible? Meron bang posibleng character traits si God na pag tinignan mo parang, Pastor, pass. Yung ibang character trait. Now, keep that in mind as we go through what we're going to talk about today. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Isaiah chapter 2. We're going to read in verses 6 to 8 and then jump from verse 18 to 21. For you have rejected your people, the house of Jacob. Wow, the first verse, you have rejected your people, the house of Jacob, because they are full of things from the east and of fortune tellers like the Philistines, and they strike hands with the children of foreigners. Their land is filled with silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. Their land is filled with horses, and there is no end to their chariots. Their land is filled with idols. They bow down to the work of their hands, to what their own fingers have made. Now let's jump to verse 18. And the idols shall utterly pass away, and people shall enter the caves of the rocks and the holes of the ground from before the terror of the Lord and from the splendor of His majesty. When He rises to terrify the earth, in that day mankind will cast away their idols of silver and their idols of gold, which they made for themselves to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to enter the caverns of the rocks and the clefts of the cliffs from before the terror of the Lord and from the splendor of His majesty, when He rises to terrify the earth. Let us pray, Lord, this is the word of the Lord. Lord, we ask that You would speak to each one of us. More than anything, we don't want more information. We don't want more knowledge. We don't want just to watch. We want to meet with You, and we want to hear You. So, Lord, speak to Your people wherever we are. Speak to us and meet us. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, yung first verse na binasa natin, you have rejected your people. Parang, wow! Habang binabasa mo yung buong chapter 2, parang ambigat. Naiisip ko, parang nautakan ako ni Pastor Mark, kaya yata ako pinag-preach ngayon. Gusto ko yung mga comfort my people, new things are coming. Yung mga magaganda, yung parang may hope, may comfort. Pero ito, ang bigat. Parang ito. And as you read through it, you're gonna see the passion of God. You're gonna feel His passion if you hear God speaking. Now, maraming mga tao, sinasabi nila, alam nyo, Pastor, si God, the God of the New Testament is a God of love. Pero yung God of the Old Testament is a God of justice, parang stern. So I'd rather stick in the New Testament. Ewan ko kung meron sa inyong ganyan, pag nagba-Bible reading kayo, lagi kayo sa New Testament. Kasi feeling nyo, etong ganda eh, laging may promise, laging may ganito. And some of us probably don't like some of the character traits of God in the Old Testament. And that is probably true if you don't fully understand what was going on. Now, I don't know if you're a Marvel fan, but there was one time pre-pandemic, nasa sinihan po kami ng misis ko, mga dates namin, mahilig kami manood ng movies. And we watched The Ant-Man and the Wasp. Kung napanood nyo to, raise your emoji hand na lang. The Ant-Man and the Wasp. Yung huling-huli po nito, may, tapos yung after credits, you stay, right? And then you watch the after credits. Ito yung si Ant-Man pumasok. Tapos nung pumasok siya, yung lahat naging abo. E di ikaw, parang, oh, wow, kami ganun, wow. May katabi kami. Sabi, bakit? Ano nangyayari? Hindi nila alam because, of course, wala silang context. Hindi nila napanood yung Infinity War before this. But those who have a context, those who have a framework or a background because we've seen something else, we fully understand what was happening. You see, a lot of times when we read the Bible, most people today read the Bible, a verse or a text, without fully understanding the context, they're trying to make sense of it and they're trying to apply it in their lives. Pero parang bitin, parang pastor, parang di ko to maintindihan. Why? Because what we need is a meta-narrative, an understanding of the meta-narrative of Scripture for us to fully comprehend, understand, and appreciate what was happening. Okay, when we have a context of the Scriptures, of the text that we are reading, then we are able to understand them, and then we're able to apply them in a meaningful way to our lives. So, relevant ang Bible. Kasi nga naiintindihan natin. And that's what we're going to look at today. Why is God so passionate against idols? I mean, hindi lang sa Isaiah. You look at the Old Testament. When it comes to idols, God is so passionately against it. Why? And I want to take us back to the context of this in Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to see two reasons why God is so passionate against idols. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 2 to 4, the first reason is God's covenant. Let me read in verse 2 of Exodus chapter 20. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is on earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. We all know, if you've been reading your Bible or familiar with it, that this is the Ten Commandments. Now, the Ten Commandments is God's covenant with His people, Israel. God entered a covenant with His people, and the Ten Commandments is really God's covenant with us. And if you look at the Ten Commandments, it is not really a job contract. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law saw the covenant as a job contract. Gawin mo to, pag hindi mo ginawa, you're fired. So that's why they're stern and legalistic, because for them, you break a law, you're fired. But the analogy of the Ten Commandments is not a job contract. It is more like a marriage covenant. It is not about God hiring us as His servants and employees. It is God marrying us. John Piper, let me quote what he said about the Ten Commandments. He said, "The Ten Commandments are not a job description for God's employees. They are the wedding vows that the peasant girl, the people of God, takes to forsake all others and to cleave to the King alone and to live in a way that brings no dishonor to His great name." So when we look at the Ten Commandments, it's our own wedding vows to God, this King who has taken us, freed us, set us free, gracious and kind and merciful and generous to us. How will I not give my vows to Him? So every time you break a command of God, it is not just breaking the rule of a king, It is really breaking the heart of a lover. That's so important. Let me say that again. Breaking a commandment is not just breaking the law of a king, it is breaking the heart of a lover. In that perspective, now you would understand why God is so passionate against idols. Because in this marriage vow, God said, I've given you everything, but I'm expecting you to have no other gods. Sabi ni Lord, walang extra Diyos. Dapat ako lang. Ako lang. And yet, Israel has broken this command repeatedly. From the time of Moses, to the time of Judges, to the time of kings spanning hundreds of years, they keep breaking the command of no idols and no gods. They repeatedly would turn to idols, hundreds of years of not just breaking the rule of a king, but breaking the heart of their lover. Now, I hope you now understand why God is so passionate against idols, because it's breaking his heart. And if you look at the word idol in Isaiah chapter 2, the word idol literally means something that is weak, something that is worthless, something that's unworthy to be trusted. And God's heart is being broken, not because, just because he's selfish, I'm hurt, broken, but because in his mind, my heart is broken because here I am. I'm offering you my love. I'm offering you my promises. And I am so trustworthy, as our series title would say. And you're turning to an worthless, weak, untrustworthy God. Why are you doing that? And that was where his passion is coming from. Now, maybe you're here and you're thinking, but Pastor, I'm not worshiping any idols. Let's talk about that for a moment. Are you not? Do we really have no idols now? Because wala tayong rebulto, wala tayong binabaw down. You see, an idol is really anything that you hold above God. And an idol today, as an idol then, are not necessarily just the bad things. Di ba maraming, madaling magsabi na, ah, wala akong idol. Yung mga bad things, porn, wala yan. Drugs, wala. Vices, alcohol, gambling, lahat ng bad things sa buhay ko, sinful relationships, I'm clear of that, Pastor. Wala akong idol sa buhay ko. But you know, an idol sometimes can be good things. Good things that we turn into ultimate things. And because they become ultimate things, very subtle to mga kapatid, hindi natin napapansin, they've taken the place of God in our lives. Why? Because a lot of times these good things give us security. These good things give us satisfaction. These good things give us significance, success, happiness, meaning. What are those good things that can become idols in our lives? Money. How many of you believe God can provide for you? We say God is provider. We believe God can prosper us. We pray for that. We pray for breakthroughs. And yet, subtly, that could become an idol. Relationships. And we're not talking about bad, sinful relationships. Sometimes, a good relationship. Mother's Day, and we honor our mothers, but if we honor our mothers to the point of them replacing God in our lives, that becomes an idol. Mothers, we honor you because you love your kids and you give everything to your kids. But if your kids take place, the place of God in your life, that's an idol. And family is a value in victory, but family could be an idol. Career could be an idol, a promotion, a position, a title. Education, good school, good grades. Buti na lang nung estudyante ako, hindi problema yung idol ng good grade sa akin. Sabi ko, wala yan. Hindi God yan. No, pag estudyante ka, mag-aral ka. Importante yan. Pero hindi dapat idol. Good works, we're talking about salt and light. Good works and good deeds should be seen by men, but sometimes helping the poor. And we'll put it on social media. Has it become an idol? Ministry could become an idol. And this is so hits home to us as pastors whose lives are wrapped up in ministry. And time and again, I have to go to God and say, Lord, nagiging idol ko ba yung ministry? Because I know I'm doing something good. You see, we can profess that Jesus is the only God in our hearts. And yet, it is possible that those things, good things, can maintain the functional title of God, small g, in our lives. We still say, God, you're the only God. We worship you. You're the only one I bow to. But yet, in reality, there are functional gods in our everyday lives. You see, because all of us have the propensity to make the good things and turn them into ultimate things, we always have to ask this question. Is there anything in my life operating in place of Jesus as my real functional God? In other words, Lord, show me, do I have an idol in my heart? So God is passionate against idols, number one, because of God's covenant. But second reason is because of God's jealousy. Some of you might be thinking, tama ba ito? Narinig ko si Pastor, si Lord, seloso. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 to 6. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. He declared it in his covenant. I am a jealous God. And this character trait of God is one of the most misunderstood traits of God. And one that would be very difficult to embrace unless we really understand what God's jealousy means. I remember Oprah Winfrey, a very famous personality, author, TV personality, had this interview and she said, that was my stumbling block. You see, she grew up in church. And one time she was in church and she was listening to a preacher and the preacher was talking and then the preacher said, God is a jealous God. And she said, uh-oh, let me stop. I know God is love, but for you to say God is jealous, sadly, that's the point where she turned away from her faith. Because she never really understood what jealousy of God really means. Now, testing, i-type natin dyan sa chat box natin. What is the first thing that comes to your mind? Word association. When you hear the word jealous or jealousy, celos, celoso, ano yung celosa? Ano yung unang naiisip mo? Ako, gumawa ako ng word association. Sabi ko, siguro yung isang nilagay ko, insecurity. Di ba? Pagka jealous, kasi insecure ka. Mistrust, envy, anger, bitterness. And I started writing. So, sinulat ko, if God is a jealous God, does it mean that God is insecure? Does it mean that God is envious? Does it mean that God is angry or bitter? You see, the only way we would appreciate the jealousy of God is when we understand that God's jealousy is far different from man's jealousy. Sino ba sa inyo dito, hand emoji, anonymous na lang, nagselos na kayo at least once in your life? Yan. Yung iba, crush nyo lang, pinagseselosan nyo, hindi nila alam, nage-exist kayo, di ba? Parang, ouch! But, kahit na wala kang relationship, nagselos ka sa best friend mo, meron bang ganon yung best friend ko, may ibang best friend. Minsan, yung mga mommies, pag may anak kayong lalaki, tapos may crush na, seselos ka, pinakain ka ng sinigang, mas masarap ang sinigang ko, anak. Di ba? Parang, ganun yung nangyayari. Now, let me explain the difference of man's jealousy against God's jealousy. Man's jealousy is love extinct. What does that mean? It is love that is angered And because it is angered, it ceases to exist. In other words, it's angered love that becomes something else other than love. And I mean, there was a news a couple of years back, Crimes of Passion. A Thai man confessed to killing his girlfriend on Valentine's Day. Why? Celos, rage, that turned into murder. Ganun yung man's jealousy. Yung sobrang naiinis ka na, yung love na wala na. Man's jealousy is love extinct. But here's the difference with God's jealousy. God's jealousy is love fighting extinction. It is love angered because he doesn't want you to get out of the relationship. Therefore, it stays love. It doesn't go beyond love. This is what Paul was trying to say in Corinthians when he said, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promise you to one husband to Christ so that I might present to you as a pure virgin to him. Paul loved the Corinthian church that he was fighting for their relationship with Christ. And that's what the jealousy of God is. God's jealousy is a good jealousy. Man's jealousy is a bad jealousy. Parang bad cholesterol at good cholesterol. Kathy, merong good cholesterol. Misis ko yun. Para makakain ako ng kung merong bad fear, merong good fear, merong bad jealousy. Man's jealousy is always bad jealousy. But God's jealousy is always good jealousy because it is about God being so committed to his relationship with us that he will fight to preserve that relationship with us no matter what. Kaya pag tinignan natin yung Israel, decades and centuries of them turning to idols, God is passionately fighting against it. And yet in verse 18, it says, and the idol shall utterly pass away. There will come a time, mawawala na lahat ng gods nyo, mawawala na lahat ng idols nyo, because I fought for you. You've seen how I fought for you, and you will finally be all mine. As I end, sometimes if I think about a God that I serve, a God I'm in covenant with, and this God is jealous, I ask myself, how can I ever meet the demands and the expectations of my covenant with a jealous God? Naisip niyo ba yon? Parang I'm with a God, I'm married to a God that is jealous. How can I ever meet the expectations and demands? And the answer is this: we can't. We can never, ever meet the demands and expectations of his covenant. I have failed. You have failed. We will always fail. That's the bad news. Even though you're already a Christian, even if you're already a leader in church, even though you are a pastor like me, we will fail. That's the bad news. But the good news is this: because our God is jealous, God will always fight for us. God's love and jealousy will always fight so that his love and our love for him will never be extinct. Meaning he will fight for our relationship with him no matter what. God will never give up on you, even though you fail again and again and again and again, just like Israel. He will always find a way to keep your relationship with him going, to keep my relationship with him going, even if we couldn't find that. And the best news is he did. Let me end with a verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Man's jealousy if pushed to the extreme, is willing to kill the lover who rejects him. But God's jealousy, if you push to the extreme, is willing to die for the one who rejects him. He did that for you. He is so jealous of you that when you've rejected him time and again, he said, "Let me die for you. The very object of my love who have rejected me time and time again." How many of you praise God that we serve a jealous God? A man, a being so passionate for our relationship with him that he'll do no matter whatever it takes to keep our relationship with him. God is so jealous for us that he is willing to do everything to keep his relationship with us, even at the expense of his very own life. He was the one who made a way to appease his jealousy, not by killing us, but by dying for us. And I want to end with that thought. And I want to pray for all of us. Let's ask that question. Lord, examine my heart. Is there anything in my heart that I hold above you? Is there any functional God in me that's not really you? Let's pray what the psalmist have prayed. Lord, see and examine my heart. Can you just bow your heads, close your eyes, wherever you are? Maybe you're surrounded with people, but don't mind them. This is your time with God. Bow your head, close your eyes. Lord, we're asking, just like David in the book of Psalms wrote, Lord, I pray that you'd see and examine my heart. Lord, we want to be fully honest with you. Is there a functional God in there that have taken your place? Lord, if there's any good thing that we have turned into an ultimate thing, let's let the Lord point a finger to that. And if you know God is speaking to you, I want you and I urge you to repent. Here's the beauty of our jealous God. He uses this time so that his relationship with you is still intact. Only thing we have to do is to repent and humble ourselves. So if you know God is speaking to you, just pray a simple prayer. Lord, I repent for other gods that I have allowed in my heart. Lord, I repent for the idolatry. It might be money, career, good relationships, family, friends. Lord, I'm sorry. Not just for breaking your rule, but I'm sorry for breaking your heart. Lord, I thank you that you're jealous of our relationship. That instead of punishing me, you have taken on the punishment so that we can still be together no matter what. Lord, I receive your forgiveness. Just receive the forgiveness of God as you've repented of your idolatry. In the name of Jesus. I want to pray for another group of people. Maybe you've been joining our worship services, or maybe this is the first time somebody invited you, somebody sent you this link, somebody forwarded this to you, and you feel like God has been speaking to you through this message. You feel like you've been so far away from God, and layo-layo ka na kay Lord Pastor. But I want you to know, and no matter how far you are from God, he is jealous of you. He died for you so that he can bring you back. It just takes one prayer away, one decision away, one humbling yourself up and repenting. And you're back with him. And you can experience this love in a greater way. So if that's you and you're saying, Pastor, I want to be near God. I want to experience that. I am inviting you, make a decision. Repent of your sins. Ask God for forgiveness. And then accept Jesus Christ, the one who died for you, the one who was raised for you. Accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And you will experience what we're talking about. So if that's you, bow your head and close your eyes. Pray a simple prayer that goes something like this. Lord, thank you for bringing me back. Lord, thank you for speaking to me, even though this is online, reaching me. Lord, thank you that you're so jealous of me that you will do whatever it takes to reach me and bring me back to you. Panginoon, I repent of all the sins that I've done in the past. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me for the so many times I've broken your heart when I sin against you. Lord, today I ask that you'd forgive me and cleanse me. And Lord, today I open my heart. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you that you were raised again so that you can live in me. So Lord, today I ask you and I invite you, come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior from this day and for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. If you have prayed that prayer, I want you to put in the chat box, I pray that prayer. Connect with someone. We would love to pray with you, and we would love to walk out this new relationship with God with you. Again, thank you very much, and God bless you.
Thank you for joining us. You can visit victory.org.ph to find a church, join the Victory Group, and give online. Thank you for partnering with us in discipling the city, the nation, and the world through your generosity. For more messages like this, you can subscribe to this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.